Do you know what's his name? Andy Ngo. It looks like he's more popular than Natalie Chan. Last time I showed you Natalie Chan's video, nobody knew about him. But everybody knows about Andy Ngo. Let me tell you about a true story that happened this year related to Andy Ngo. Yang Lijuan, or Yang Lijuan in Cantonese, is a super fan of Andy Ngo. When she was only 15 years old, she dreamed of Andy Ngo. She actually saw Andy Ngo in her dream. And since then, she spent the rest of her life pursuing Andy Ngo together with her parents. Her parents followed her to pursue Andy Ngo together. She visited Beijing 6 times in order to see Andy Ngo in his concert or some other occasions that Andy Ngo showed up. She also went to Hong Kong 3 times to see Andy Ngo. Finally, she was able to see Andy Ngo at a closer distance in a fans club meeting. But over the past 13 years, she gave up her education. She decided not to go to school and full-time pursue Andy Ngo and then just follow Andy Ngo around wherever Andy Ngo went. She gave up her opportunity to get a job because of that. She gave up her youth from 15 years old to 28 years old, the most precious time in her life. She gave that to Andy Ngo. And she caused her whole family to be in debt, because obviously it cost a lot of money to follow Andy Ngo around. And his father even sold one of his kidneys in order to cover all the expenses. You will say, what a crazy father, right? What a father would do such a thing. And finally, they were able to see Andy Ngo face to face at a closer distance in the fans club meeting. But the father was very unhappy. Why? Because Andy Ngo didn't receive them as a guest of honor. They were treated just like other fans instead of being treated like a super fan. He was so angry that he decided to commit suicide. He decided to take his own life away because he was so angry. Life, why is life so unfair? So he jumped into the sea in Hong Kong and committed suicide. Andy Ngo didn't really do anything to Yang Lijuan or her parents. Andy Ngo was just singing, making movies, and making money for himself, okay? But why could Yang Lijuan love and sacrifice so much for Andy Ngo for 13 years? This helps us to think about how we react to God's love. Do you know how God loves us in comparison to Andy Ngo? God loves us so much. He sent His only Son to die for our sins in our place so that we don't need to go to hell, but have eternal life with Him in heaven. God is still patiently listening to all of our prayers every day. Do you know how many people there are praying to Jesus, praying to God? Wow, so many people's prayers, and God listened to each of their prayers. Not only that, when we are in trouble, God comforts us. When we are feeling weak, God strengthens us. And when we are sinning, God is patiently waiting for us to return back to Him. Even now, Jesus is praying for each one of us on God's right side in heaven for us. God loves us so much. But how deep is our love to God? Do I love God more than Yang Lijuan loves Ngo Dewang? Andy Ngo? See, Andy Ngo didn't love Yang Lijuan, and yet Yang Lijuan was willing to sacrifice and love Andy Ngo so much. God loves us so much. How have we responded to God's love? How much do we love God? Mark chapter 12, verse 28 to verse 31 says that one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandments greater than these." God loves us so much. He also wants us to love him back with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. But look at us. Look at the world. The world doesn't love God. People in the end times don't love God, as said in the following passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5. Some of us might sometimes fall into such conditions. It's a general description of people in the end times, what they are like in response to God. See, it says in verse 1, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people." I hope you are not such people, because such people will cause people to be away from God. Have you seen some of these things in your life too sometimes? Have you seen the people who don't believe in God acting in such manners? There are four things that will stop us from loving God: loving ourselves, loving money or what money can buy, not loving what is good in God's eyes, loving pleasure rather than loving God. We will see from Mark chapter 12, verse 30, how we can overcome the four obstacles that stops us from loving God, so that we can love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. First, God wants us to love him with all our heart. What does it mean? What does it mean by loving God with all our heart? Do I need to take out my heart and show that to God? In Jewish culture, the heart represents the whole person. The heart is the very center and essence of our whole being. Everything that we do is a reflection of our heart condition. What our heart is like will be acted out in what we do. When we are happy, we say our heart is blossomed like a flower. In Mandarin, 开心, 我们的心开了, our heart is open. It's like a flower that's blossoming. That's a good feeling. When we are sad, we say our heart is broken. 伤心, 我们的心被伤害了, damaged, broken. When we see a student studying diligently, we say he puts his heart in his studies. 用心. If you have dated before, you will know that you can do things beyond your normal capacity and willingness in order to impress that person that you're pursuing, or make her happy, or make him happy. God wants us to love him with all our heart in a similar manner. If we only love God out of convenience, that's true, because it is easy. This is something I can handle, so let me do it, okay, and then be proud of it. We have not loved God with all our heart if we just love God out of convenience or because it is an easy thing to do. Loving God with all our heart means we're not beyond our normal capacity and willingness to make God happy, because God loves us so much. We want to make Him happy. If there's someone who loves you so much, to the point of willing to die for you, you will want to make that person happy. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says that we love because He first loved us. We in ourselves, as I mentioned before, cannot unconditionally and sacrificially initiate the love. God loved us unconditionally and sacrificially first, and then we appreciate God and we learn from God's example. Loving God with all our heart is to respond to God's love for us, and not to create an idol to love, as Yuan Maigun did, which ended in tragedy. You might even think she is silly. Who would love Andy now such way? But it happened, okay? And some of you might love Andy to a less extent, but in some way, still not rational in God's eyes. So we should love by learning how God loves us first. And that type of love will produce fruit in our life. Loving God with all our heart is to think, to say, to do everything in correspondence to God's love for us, to please or to glorify God in everything we think, we say, and do. Let me repeat. Loving God with all our heart is to think, to say, to do everything in correspondence to God's love for us, in order to please or glorify God in everything we think, we say, and we do. But there's a challenge when we want to love God with all our heart, beyond our normal capacity and willingness. Here's the challenge. We often love ourselves, as we saw in 2 Timothy. And suffering will test whether you love yourself or God. Here is a lady who suffered in Katrina, in New Orleans, not far away from here. And from her face, you can see how much suffering she went through. Not just immediately after Katrina, but even now, she's suffering. She still needs our help. The news might report things about Katrina just maybe a few weeks after that. But then we just no longer report that, because it has no more value to attract audience. But does it mean these Katrina victims are no longer suffering? Some of them are still suffering. In our lives, suffering can really test whether we love God wholeheartedly, especially when suffering hits us. If your doctor tells you that you have an incurable disease and you only have a few months of your life left, but someone said, "Come, follow me, practice Fa Lun Gong." Have you heard of Fa Lun Gong? Fa Lun Gong, the founder, claimed that he is the true God. Jesus is God, but he is a higher God than even Jesus. Many people followed him, and many people practiced Qi Gong with him. But he said, "You have to get my help in order to be able to get to the level that you want to get to, that will heal your body from all kinds of diseases." When you practice Falun Gong for 1 hour, it feels like you have slept for 8 hours. See, many people, even Christians, in their deepest pain and suffering, they decided to go to follow the founder of Falun Gong and practice Falun Gong, because it claimed that, "Come, Christians, it's okay to practice Falun Gong. You can still go to church, you can still worship Jesus, but worship one more God, that is the founder, Li Hongzhi." If you are in that situation, under a life-threatening situation, wouldn't you want to just practice it so that you can be healed? You can be free from all the pain that's torturing you? Some Christians did. Suffering causes us sometimes to question about God's love for us. If God really loves us, why does God let me suffer? And it shifts us back to love for our own selves and denying God. Under such circumstances, we should continue to think about how Jesus became human to die for our sins so that we can have eternal life with him in heaven in the future, where there will be no more suffering, where there will be no more pain, and where there will be no more sin. That's the cause of many sufferings in this world. Now, no matter what type of cure someone promises, think about it. It's only temporary. Even the best doctor who has cured you from a disease, he cannot guarantee that you will not get it in the future, or some other type of diseases in the future. And finally, you will still die. Even Li Hongzhi, I'm actually looking forward to see him die. He claimed himself to be God. I believe he is just a human being, and he will also go through physical death one day. And people's thoughts about him, worship about him would end when they see that he is just a human being. And actually, people who actually went to interview his parents found out that he lied about his backgrounds. He was just a liar who might have mastered some skills in how to use qigong to heal the body. Why does God allow suffering in our life? God allows us to go through sufferings to let us experience his love through the comfort from the Holy Spirit when we are in suffering. There's no other people who can help us when we are in suffering. Even doctors, they will just give you painkillers to stop the pain. But when the effect of the painkiller stops, you will start feeling the pain again. And still, those who are having terminal diseases, they have no hope, because even that pain can be stopped, they know they will die sooner or later. But that's the time the Holy Spirit can comfort us. And that's the time that we will realize that ultimately, it's only God that we can rely on, not anything else, not even the most excellent doctors in the world. Those times we'll pray more, we'll read God's word more, and we will also experience Christians' love more when loving Christians will visit us when I'm ill. That's true. I will see loving Christians visiting me, although I will still face my own illness. But I will experience God's love. It makes me feel so much better when I'm facing the sufferings in my life. In the end, we all become stronger and mature. If you have gone through sufferings in the past, you will be more passionate, compassionate, loving towards people who are also suffering. See, that's the purpose of God's allowing suffering in our lives. So don't lose heart when you are suffering. Some of you think you're suffering in school. Wait till college, wait till a later part of your life. There will be more sufferings in life, I'm telling you. God wants us to love him with all our heart. Even sufferings cannot stop us from loving God, because God has promised something that's eternal, that cannot be lost. The world promises something that's only temporary, that will be lost ultimately. Secondly, God wants us to love him with all our soul. What does it mean? It means we should let God become our soulmate. Have you heard of the term soulmate? Someone you have been seeking all your life. After you have graduated from college, you want to get married with your soulmate, someone who understands the deepest needs in your heart. Someone you can talk to about anything, the best of friends. But God is our soulmate. God is always there waiting for us to also become his soulmate, so that we can share our deepest needs, emotional needs, to God. But there's the challenge. Sometimes we feel God is so remote. Where is God? God, I don't see God. We cannot see God. We cannot touch God. And sometimes we pray, but God doesn't seem to answer my prayers or fulfill my requests through my prayers right away. What we need to do is to learn the art of quietly spending time to listen to God and tell God through prayers our deepest needs, and hold on to God to resolve our soul's deepest emotional needs and struggles. If you honestly and sincerely do this, as if you do it to a soulmate, you will see God fulfilling your deepest emotional needs. That's your soul, in your soul. A great Christian, Augustine, once said, God created each one of us with a hole in our soul, which only God can fill for us. Within each one of us, there is a soul hole. How can God fill this soul hole for us? Come honestly and sincerely and closely to God, and God will fill this soul hole for you. Don't ask why God is not answering your prayers, but ask, are you treating God as your soulmate? Or are you just treating him as an idol who would give you whatever you want? God desires us to have close and personal relationship with him instead of using him as a tool to get what we want. God is not your tool. God is God. We are not God. If we just ask God anything and God will just do it for us, even that's not good for us, we have become God. God, do this for me. Do that for me. I am your master. People have gotten that all wrong. We are not God. God is God, and we are just created by God. But God loves us and will answer our prayers in his special way. What's the challenge? To loving God with all our soul. Money. When we don't realize that our soul can only be filled by God, we often will be misled by the world. The world promises us things like money, what money can buy. It will make you happy. It will give you a sense of security. It will fill the emptiness. That's not true if you have read news. You will see the nothingness in many wealthy, successful Hollywood superstars' lives. They are lost. What's happening to Britney Spears now? I think he's receiving some type of therapy. Okay? So, although she was so successful, she's so much wealthier than we are, and yet she is lost. Because she was trying to fill that soul with the wrong thing. The worldly success will not fill your soul, it will only make you emptier, to the point of feeling lost. Some of them might even do silly things like committing suicide. God is not remote. If you are willing to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says, God's Spirit would live in your heart. God is close to your heart. The Holy Spirit is always waiting for us to have a good relationship with him, to talk to him, and also to listen to him talk back to us through the Bible. The Holy Spirit is our soulmate, close at heart. Each Christian has a soulmate, close at heart. That's our God. How do we feel this hole that's in our heart? Pray to God as if you talk to a soulmate. Anytime, anywhere. Some people think, when I pray, I have to close my eyes. When I pray, I have to bow down or kneel on the ground. You can pray anytime, anywhere. Our God is omnipresent. He's present everywhere. He's in our heart. Pray anytime to God. This soulmate is there, desiring to listen to you, to help you, comfort you, anytime, anywhere. Isn't that wonderful? Can you have a soulmate like that? Write down your prayers and see how God answers your prayers for yourself, for your family, for your church friends, for your school friends, for your church, for Baton Rouge, for Louisiana, for the United States, for the whole world. People say, God doesn't answer prayers. Try praying for all these things from God's perspective, and you will start seeing that God is trustable because God answers prayers. Since I came here to become the English minister of CCCDR, I have witnessed God answering so many prayers in the English ministry. If you have come to the prayer meeting and prayed with us, you will see that God already answered many prayers for the English ministry and for some of our needs, individual needs. We were praying for Ness. He was having a surgery, and he was going to have an MR test at the knee, and we prayed for him, and we are so thankful he's okay with his knee. And he had a surgery with his hand, and that was also successful. So God does answer our prayers. So let's learn how to love God with all our soul through prayers on all occasions, anytime and anywhere. Thirdly, God wants us to love Him with all our mind. Does that look like your Bible? Yes, right? You are all laughing. I guess that's what your Bible looks like. The Bible is covered with dust because you haven't touched it for years, and it says, "Read me." Have you been reading your Bible? To love God with all our mind means to know and understand God's eternal qualities and His plan for our life. If you don't read it, sorry, you're not going to know, because that's God's revelation about Himself and His guidance for our life. Go read your Bible. What's the challenge? The challenge is that some people actually read the Bible and still they feel, "There are things in the Bible I don't understand. Why? Some of the things doesn't even seem to be reasonable." Like some people don't believe in miracles that's recorded in the Bible. They try to look at miracle from a scientific perspective. See, we cannot do it with all the science technology we have. So that's not possible. They are missing a big point. The reason why miracle is called miracle is that it's beyond human ability to perform it. That's why it's miracle. Or otherwise, it will be called magic. Magicians can play magic. But those are just tricks, illusions. They are not real. But God did perform miracles because God created nature. And yet, God is not limited by nature. God created everything that we are trying to discover through science. And yet science is so limited. It has only discovered the surface of God's wonderful creation. And though some of the scientists who are not that good, they are usually very proud. They say, "See, I know everything already," and then I, as a result, say, "There are no miracles," or "There is no God." Many excellent scientists, after they have achieved their level of excellence, they find out that they are so limited. The more they know, they find out that the more they don't know about the whole universe. Many excellent scientists became astronauts. They were in the air, spacecraft, and they look down at the Earth. It looks like a little ping pong ball. And then they realize how little we are in comparison to the Earth, and how little we are in comparison to the whole Earth, that we haven't even been able to even look at. How can we be so proud to say that there's no miracle and there's no God based on our limited knowledge? We are not being rational sometimes. And many people don't like the biblical idea that homosexuality is one of the sins that God hates. And therefore, they say this teaching is no longer applicable in our times. It doesn't apply. Homosexuality is okay. It was not okay in the past, but it's okay now. What do you think? The Bible said homosexuality was one of the sins God hates, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well. And the Bible doesn't say this would change with the changing culture and tradition. This does not change. This is a moral teaching in the Bible that does not change with time. So God still hates the sin of homosexuality. whether you like it or not. Is it true that God's word is no longer applicable and no longer reasonable? Or is it because our sins have caused us to reject God's truth? Those who claim God's truth is no longer reasonable and applicable, they are not being reasonable themselves. Look at those people. These are the same people who have forbidden public prayers in school, and yet they have introduced some form of pornography in school in the name of sex education. And some of them even allowed the kids to have abortion without having prior consent from the parents. Some of the kids had sex, and they had kids, maybe at just age 12 or 13. And then these teachers said, it's okay to have an abortion, and don't let your parents know. And let the kids suffer for the rest of their life the guilt of doing something that's like murdering someone. These people are not being consistent. These are the same people. They allow guns to be available to the common people that caused death in schools like Virginia Tech. They said having guns is okay, but guns should be controlled so that it will stop such tragedy in the future. Recently, I've seen more shootings causing death to young people. Some of them are just like a little kid in school. The school is no longer a safe place. When your schoolmate has a gun, and your schoolmate doesn't know when to use the gun, your life is endangered if there's no gun control in this country. So is it really God's word that's no longer applicable or reasonable, or is it because our sins have caused us to reject God's truth? When we are living in sin, we hate truth, because truth will tell us that we are wrong, makes us feel guilty and not bad. We all face the obstacle that we don't love what is good in God's eyes because of our sinful nature. We will naturally not feel good about what's good in the Bible that God says is good. We should be more serious in studying the Bible, God's word, and let God's word mold and shape our minds and thoughts instead of letting this world to mislead you with crooked, wrong values. Lastly, God wants us to love Him with all our strength. Look at Superman. He has all the power and he used that to help other people. God wants us to love Him with all His strength. That means God wants us to use our body to do work for God's kingdom. What's the challenge? The challenge is that our spirit might be willing. In our heart, we know. If we're Christians, we read from the Bible, asking for the Holy Spirit's guidance. But sometimes we know that's not the right thing to do, and yet we do it. And sometimes we know what God wants us to do, and we simply don't do it. Our body is weak. And we often exhaust ourselves, seeking pleasure and leaving nothing for God's kingdom. Look at this man. He's not Superman, totally different. He spent all his energy doing what? Mountain climbing, because I read his blog, okay? And doing all kinds of outdoor activities until he was totally exhausted. And then he couldn't help himself to just lie down on his motor bicycle and take a nap. He was so exhausted. Is it because we cannot work hard? We don't have energy? No, we can sometimes work up to 16 hours a day. If you're working, you have a job. Some of us are like workaholics, and they don't feel tired working all day long. And some of us are in school spending many hours studying, and you never complain. You know what? Some of us spend many hours playing computer games. Have you ever complained? Mom, Dad, why did you buy this computer game? It's causing me to overwork. You never say that. You never complain. We love pleasure. That's a fact. And we love to do what would benefit ourselves and make ourselves happy through our body. We don't realize, and we don't understand our true identity. And we don't realize, and we don't understand what's really good for us. Playing computer games, working, or studying for 16 hours nonstop, even though if you don't complain, it's no good for you. You need to take a break, okay, if you are overworking yourself doing such things, doing an appropriate amount, it might be good for you. See, we're letting our body to become slave of sin, and our body will receive the fruit of death. If we continue to let our body to become slave of sin, but our true identity should be slave of righteousness. We should be slave of doing the right thing, and that would produce life, fruit in our life. Romans chapter 6 verse 16 says that, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Are you a slave to sin? Or are you a slave to righteousness? Romans chapter 12 verse 1 to 2 says that, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is the true form of worship, not just coming to worship service on Sunday. Not that you spend hours playing video games last night and you feel sleepy now, learning God's word. But we should offer ourselves up to God to do the things that God wants us to do. That's the true meaning of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you transform your mind by God's power, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. Some people don't like doing God's will. They think, it does me no good. But what does Romans chapter 12 say? God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. God's will. When you're willing to transform your mind by God's power, you understand that, and you do it, it will benefit you. So how do we love God? With all our heart. What does it mean? We should love God beyond our normal capacity and willingness. By God's grace and faith, we can do things beyond our capacity and willingness. We should understand God's purpose of allowing suffering in our life. Suffering might be an obstacle, but if you understand God's purpose of suffering in your life, you can even benefit through your sufferings. So we will not give up our faith in God in a life-threatening situation. Second, love God with all your soul. Let God become your soulmate, and we become God's soulmates. Money and material cannot fill the soul hole that's in your soul. Come honestly and sincerely and closely to God, and let God fill your soul hole. Thirdly, love God with all your mind. Let God's word mold and shape our mind and way of thinking, instead of letting the world's crooked values mislead you and become a fool, like what we saw in Yuan Naigun's life, being so silly to sacrifice so much for Andy now, ended up in her father's committing suicide. That's silly. We need to have wisdom in our life by letting God's word mold and shape our mind. Lastly, we need to love God with all our strength. We need to use our body for God's kingdom. Instead of becoming a slave of the world, we should become slave of righteousness. and do what is good, pleasing, and best for us. That's God's will in the Bible. There's a 90-year-old mom who has three sons. It's her 90th birthday. And the three sons each gives her a birthday gift to show their love for the mom, the 90-year-old mom who took care of them for 60 years. I suppose the sons are about 30 years old, okay? For 60 years, the mom took care of them, so showing so much love. The first son gave the mom a Benz Mercedes, a wonderful car, beautiful car. And the second one gave the mom a brand new luxurious house. These sons are wealthy, okay? See, they have lived for so long, so they have accumulated more money. And the third son gave the mom two parrots, which could recite all the verses in the Old Testament and all the verses in the New Testament. One will recite verses from the Old Testament, one will recite verses from the New Testament. When you ask the parrot, what does Romans chapter 12 verse 1 say? It will tell you immediately. Because the son knows that the mom loves reading God's word. So he gave the two parrots to the mom. After receiving the gifts, the mom sent them a letter sharing her feelings about the three gifts. She said, "Thank you, my dear sons. Thanks for giving me the best Mercedes. It's beautiful. But I'm getting so old and I can't see clearly and I won't be able to drive it. So I left that in my garage. Thanks for giving me the big house. It's beautiful. But it's a little bit too big for one person, okay? You know, your dad has already passed away. But anyhow, I really appreciate the big house because at least I can spend my idle time taking care, cleaning up the big house." And the third son, the mom says, "Thanks for giving me the birds. You really understand my needs. They were the most delicious baby pigeons I've ever tasted." So the mom actually liked eating baby pigeons. And she thought those were baby pigeons and just ate them, and she was very satisfied. When we don't love a person the way she wants us to love her, we will end up wasting our time and energy, and yet the person we love still won't be pleased. See, all these three sons had good intentions, and yet they have loved the mom not the way the mom wants them to love her. Although the mom misunderstood the third son's love for her. See, we have seen Yuan Maijun, nothing with no wisdom, not knowing what to love. That's wasting all her heart for someone who doesn't love her. So she doesn't know how to love with all her heart, and love the right person. And these three sons, they don't love with all their mind because they don't understand the mom. They don't know the mom. Just like if we don't know what the Bible teaches us, we are not going to be able to love God the way God wants us to love him. And we'll end up having such a funny situation that I just mentioned. When we love God the way he wants us to love him, he will be pleased. And that's why we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, the way he loves us. Because he loves us first. Let's pray to God and ask God to help us to love him the way he wants us to love him. And not love him like Yuan Maijun did. Or not love him like the three sons did. Okay, let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because you have given us the greatest commandment of all to us. If we feel there are so many teachings in the Bible, I don't know how to follow. But God, through Jesus, you have given us the greatest commandment of all. That is to love you, our only God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our body. Let us love God the way God loves us and the way God wants us to love Him, and let us be able to help those people who are walking in darkness, in sin. Thank you, God, for letting us experience your love through Jesus Christ and letting us have God's word so that we would know how to love you the right way that will produce fruit and blessings in our lives and in other people's lives. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.